Genesis 39 shows us that Joseph was sold as a slave. His brothers were jealous of him, and so they sold him as a slave, which beat the idea they were going to kill him, and they got talked out of that, so they sold him as a slave. He ends up in Egypt, gets sold into Potiphar's house, and chapter 39 is all about Joseph being tested by Potiphar's wife, approaching him, eventually falsely accusing him, and Joseph ending up in prison. And then, in verse number 21, chapter 39, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." So even in prison, Joseph had the favor of God. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. So Joseph was a prisoner, but as a prisoner, he was put in charge of the prison. And the warden didn't even have to check on him. He trusted him. He knew that he had the favor of God and that he was honest. And Joseph took care of everything in the prison. Even while he was in prison, he was in charge and he was in favor. Now in chapter 40, it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now, understand, he was bound in the sense that he couldn't leave. But within that ward, he had liberty. You know, we think of confinement and we think of restrictions and boundaries, but as long as we understand where the boundaries are, we have perfect liberty within those bounds. And that's what Joseph understood. Joseph could have sat around and sucked his thumb and pouted and complained because he was in prison. But rather than do that, he said, "Well, I'm here. I can't get out. Let me find something worth doing. Let me find something, some way to be worthy even within these walls." And so he got a job and he became the leader. And the people looked to him, and those who were in charge of the prison looked to him. And he had perfect liberty within the bounds. And that's what we should not dismiss boundaries. Boundaries are good for us. Boundaries are necessary for us. We need discipline. We need order. We need regimen. And verse 4, "The captain of the guard charged Joseph with the baker and the butler, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. They dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Joseph came in to them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad." What a gift to be able to look at people and read people. To be able to tell when they're upset. To be able to tell when they're sad. To be able to tell when they're hiding something. How many of you are pretty good at telling when somebody's lying? Some people just whenever their mouth is moving, right? But you can tell when they're lying by just the way they look at you, by their composure, by their skin color changes in their neck. You know, I always watch Judge Judy and she says, "Well, your neck just turned red, you told a bold-faced lie." You know? So you read people and you learn people and you understand when they're sincere in their composure and when they're trying to hide something. And Joseph walked in and saw these two guys and they were sad. In verse 7, he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look you so sadly today? Hey, Joseph, did you get the memo? We're in prison." Right? But see, Joseph had made prison a joyous place to be. Joseph had made prison, I mean, let's take it out as far as we can. They made each other feel like family in there. The brotherhood, you know, they stuck together and they were in it together and they weren't going anywhere, so they might as well enjoy it. Now, wouldn't that be a better attitude than just to come in and complain every day and wake up every day and say, well, I'm in prison, you know? But Joseph looked at him and said, why are you sad? And that to me, I mean, I'm in prison, that's why. But the environment was such that even in prison, they weren't supposed to look sad. It wasn't normal for them to be sad even in prison. That ought to tell us something. So he asked them, why are you sad? Verse 8, they said to him, we dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Verse 9, the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. In the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth. The clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. That's incredible. Now Joseph was a dreamer. Remember, that's what they said. Oh, here comes that dreamer. They were jealous of his dreams. And he had dreamed this dream that all of his family, the moon and the sun and the stars, were paying tribute or glorifying or worshiping him, if you will. And that's when his dad said, the moon and the sun would be me and your mother, son. But he thought about it. He said, I'll contemplate. I'll work on that. Because he knew there was something about Joseph that stood out. But his brothers were jealous. He had dreamed a dream about the sheaves that were smaller and that they paid obeisance to his sheaf that was larger. And the brothers were jealous of his dream. So he was a dreamer. He understood dreams. Of course, he had the interpretation of God, the sense, the wisdom, the Spirit of God on him. And so right then he interpreted the dream. 3 days, you'll get your job back. You'll serve the Pharaoh, the king, his wine just like you did before. Verse 14, the only thing I ask, think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. Bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So that's the one thing he asked. Just remember me. I don't deserve to be here. Now look, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm here. I got to be here. I might as well enjoy it. I might as well make the most of it. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to get out. Do you understand? We live, we do what we can where we are with what we have, but it doesn't mean that we have no ambition to grow, that we have no ambition for greater things. And so, while Joseph learned, as Paul put it, to be satisfied in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content where he was, that doesn't mean he had quit dreaming. And so he said, remember me and help me get out. Verse 16, well, the chief baker was standing by. And he said, my, that's a pretty good interpretation. The chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, and he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. You understand the enthusiasm he had when he told the story. He thought, boy, this is going to be good. I can't wait to find out what that's all about. I had 3 white baskets on my head. Verse 17. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. So far, so good, right? Just like the other guy. 3 branches, 3 days. I can see that baker sitting there with bated. Oh, he just can't wait. Boy, this is good. 3 days. Verse 19, within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee. Hold on a second. How come you're lifting his head up and he's getting his job back and taking my head off? And shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds will eat thy flesh from off thee. When's it going to get better? Can you imagine? I mean, I just feel so sorry for that baker, don't you? He heard that. He heard the butler's interpretation, and he thought, this Joseph guy is incredible. I like this guy. And then when he got done interpreting his dream, he said, I hope this guy doesn't know a thing what he's talking about. Verse 20, it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast to all servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The dreams were fulfilled. The interpretations were true. And then we come to that final verse. And I try to imagine what Joseph went through. Was Joseph, you know, he still got up every day and he still made the most of it and he was still content to be there. But he had some glimmer of hope that it was going to get better. And so I just believe that he came each day. I mean, number one, that third day, you know, the butler got up excited, got dressed, shaved, cleaned, slicked his hair back. He was ready to go. He was waiting for him to come and say, Mr. Butler, it's time for you to come back to your job. And the baker didn't want to get out of bed that day, did he? He said, this is not a good day. But he got up. The king brought both of them up there, presented them, gave the butler his job back, presented them, sent the baker to the tree. The third day came and went. And Joseph probably went to bed that night and he thought, well, that was a big day. I can't really expect the butler to just remember me right off. You know, I mean, sure, it was a big day and it was full of excitement and probably a lot of work. And he's trying to get adjusted back. And so they didn't come and get me just because, you know, it just wasn't today. And Joseph got up the fourth morning, I believe, and he got ready. He thought, boy, today that butler's going to remember me and he's going to say something to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's going to come and get me and I'm going to be out. The fifth day. Maybe they'll send an attorney or somebody at least to ask me my story and record it and let the king read it. Nothing. I believe that Joseph continued to do a good job. But the Bible says that the butler forgot about him for 2 years. For 2 years, the butler didn't bring it up. For 2 years, the butler enjoyed his freedom. The butler enjoyed his old job back and the respect and the gratitude and the appreciation that he had had before. And he enjoyed that for 2 years and never thought about who made it, who encouraged him in his low moment. Now look, it was going to happen, didn't matter. All Joseph did was give him something to believe in for 3 days. That third day came and it all came true. Joseph didn't set him free. Joseph just interpreted the dream, just comforted his heart. He just ministered to him. Guys, we don't save people. We minister to people. We show them the way. And we show them the gospel. We show them the word. But we don't save them. God does that. And so, unfortunately, along the way, sometimes they'll forget who helped them get where they got. They'll forget who helped them when they were down and out, or they just needed that one little boost, that one little encouragement, and they'll forget. But you know what I found is as time goes by, they remember. Time goes by until what? Until we're necessary again. Until we can be useful again. Until we can be helpful again. That's the truth. That's the reality. Joseph stayed in that prison and he kept doing his job and he kept doing a great job and everybody still loved Joseph and everybody still appreciated Joseph in that little prison. Outside of that prison, they didn't think anything about Joseph, didn't know Joseph except the butler. Verse 1, chapter 41, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Pharaoh dreamed. Behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. The ill-favored, lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, and Pharaoh awoke. Verse 5, he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning, verse 8, that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. The dream disturbed him. The dream upset him. Because in both dreams, there was the picture of prosperity swallowed up in the picture of need. The fat cow swallowed by the lean one. The fat ears destroyed by the lean one. Replaced by the lean one. And he woke up and he said, this means something. There's something to this. And he called all of his advisors and nobody knew the answer. Verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Finally, when Joseph was needed, Joseph was remembered. Finally, when his talent could come in handy, his name came up. I wonder about those 2 years and about that prison, and I come to this conclusion that God used the prison to protect Joseph. Because remember what happened last time he was free. Somebody tried to get at him and falsely accuse him and ruin his reputation. So God used that prison where Joseph could thrive and prosper and be appreciated and be a blessing. And he kept him in that prison to protect him and to keep him. To keep him from getting distracted. To keep him from getting too ambitious. To keep him from getting in trouble. To keep him from Potiphar's wife. They couldn't get to him in that prison. You see, it wasn't that the butler just forgot about Joseph till he needed him. It was that God kept him where he wanted him until he needed him for something else. We talked about Paul this morning, how that Paul went to Athens and he didn't have a team, he didn't have a mission. He just went there. He didn't have plans to preach, he just went there. He was really running from the group behind him, just getting out. But while he was there, he got stirred up. God, we don't always have to have an assignment. We need to be content where we are and just enjoy the Lord. Well, we can stay busy. We can rest until we get stirred. But it doesn't mean, and somebody was asking me this yesterday, said, well, what do you mean the church called you? What do you mean that God called you to be a preacher? And that's hard for some people to understand. But God keeps us where He needs us till He needs us somewhere else. And God will let us stay there, and He'll protect us and provide for us until He needs us somewhere else. And then when God needs us somewhere else, He'll move us along. Now, He won't always do it as He did Ezekiel or as He did Philip in the book of Acts. But we need to be satisfied where we are. You know, I see people, they're never satisfied where they are. They're always looking for some other deal or some other job or some other place to live or, you know, some big payout. I got a friend, he's always got some, what do they call that? Wild-haired scheme? There they call it. Always something. Boy, when I do this, I'm gonna make it big. I'm going to make it rich. And you, if you go to him next month, he'll have a new one. And he won't have gone any further with the last one. The young lady that came to church this morning, she said, I said, where y'all go to church? Nowhere. How long you been in Tallahassee? 8 months. Well, why don't y'all go to church? Well, we hadn't found one. I said, how hard did you look? She said, not hard. But you know, that's how some people are. They have an idea, but they never pursue it. Joseph was satisfied to be in prison because he was protected there till God needed him somewhere. Don't get anxious where you are. Wait for God to call you. Wait for God to move you. And then when God moves you, get going. Let's stand.